This show is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, healthy snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with healthy and delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support this podcast by ordering a free NatureBox sample box at naturebox.com/Joey. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/Joey. Show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey and get 20% off of your first order of all their great men's and women's underwear. They also have shirts, shorts, socks, all of their great products, 20% off of your first order, and they're going to give you free shipping in the United States and Canada when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey and go to Onnit.com. Onnit.com is the leader in optimum optimization. Use code word CHURCH to get 10% off all their products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, ShroomTech Immune, ShroomTech Sport, Strong Bone. It's code word CHURCH to get 10% off.
Oh shit, you bad motherfuckers. Strap a pair on. It's the church of what's happening now, motherfuckers. Little Judas Priest. Little hell-bent for leather. Out of respect. Gay marriage. Bust out the fucking leather. It's over. Killer Raw, are you fucking nuts? It's a tremendous sound if you don't have it at the house. Glenn Tipton is phenomenal on his fucking arm right here. Check him out. Hit it.
Blackest night, faster than a shadow. Comes the flare from a raging sound.
An exhibition. Oh shit. Old school tonight. Just myself and my beautiful Jewish co-host, the Flying Jew, aka Israel's own director, Mr. Lee Boogaloo. Where's the envelope, Sayat? What's happening, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I had a great couple of days and just excited to be here. It's a surprise we're doing it, so I'm just happy to be here.
Well, I was supposed to be fucking out of town, but we were leaving for San Diego. The plan was basically this. The baby gets fucking car sick. And my wife misses details in the conversations, you know. Or maybe I'm busy or, you know, I hear stuff. Like 2 weeks ago, she got sick on the way to the zoo in L.A.
Oh, no.
You know, so my wife is like, I still don't know if she gets car sick or not. It's hereditary. I had it. I still get it once or twice a fucking year. If I leave the house in a rush, or I don't have breakfast.
And how long does it take? Because how long? It's like 20 minutes and she's already getting sick?
20 minutes.
Oh, no.
She got sick by Commerce Casino on the 5. The first time. And then we got off, cleaned her up, and we said, let's give it a break for 40 minutes. By that time, it's 1:30. You know, yeah. We were at the house with the cats. And we went again for like 3 miles, and she got sick again, and we just turned the car around. And I felt, but listen, the baby didn't know we were going to go to the zoo. I felt bad for my wife. It's our anniversary weekend, you know, and I was looking forward to giving her a break, you know. I travel every week, and I don't shun it, but I look at it as very, just another day for me.
It's not as fun for you.
Right. For some people, you know, and she must sit there every weekend and go, you know, he gets to travel, be on a plane, blah, 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 blah. So we didn't have enough time for us to get on the plane, but I wanted to make a nice trip for her to just to get her out of the element, you know, just to get out. And I mean, she lives with that little girl, and we would still be around that little girl for 2 days. It just wouldn't be us, but...
And is it, like, would a train work? Like, or is it all moving vehicles?
I don't want to put myself in a... What if I get her on the train?
Right.
Okay? Because usually you get car sick, and it stays for a while. What if I got to get off in fucking Calabasas somewhere, and now I'm stranded with no fucking car?
Right.
So it's like she said to me, well, the last time we went back to Chicago, she got sick right before we landed in Chicago. That's great to fucking know, because if she gets sick in 4 hours, what's going to happen to all the way to New York City? For another 2 hours, she's going to feel like dick. I don't really want to take the chance. I know what it is to get car sick. I know.
What is it like? I've never been car sick.
You just start getting dizzy and it gets hot. And all of a sudden you got to pull over and barf, and then you get back in, and it's like being fucking seasick. So today we got invited to a barbecue Saturday, like 2 weeks ago, and it's like 30 miles up. So we got a Dramamine for 2-year-olds and up.
Okay.
And you can give it to her every 6 hours, and that takes away some of the sickness. you know, because we got to go up hills.
Oh, yeah.
So we got to go up hills. And that's, like, we can't take it to the beach. You get sick on the way down to Pena Canyon. If we take it down to 405.
I almost get sick on Pena Canyon.
You know, it's 9 in the fucking morning. Your body's not based, I guess the word is. I don't fucking know. Last time I got really sick, I was shooting a movie in the beach. And we went up one of those hills in a van. I was sitting in the back. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do the scene. They tried. I couldn't do the fucking scene. We had to do a different take of it. Because that's how car sick I get. So it's, and I had it worse when I was her age. Like from 3 to 7, it was horrendously bad. And then it became a thing. A thing here and there, you know. And then it went away. And then now it's still, I don't know when it's going to come. I remember one day I had to do radio. To this day, the comedy club people do not talk to me. They think like I was bullshitting them. No, I had to do radio. And I told them, I don't want to drive. Get me a hotel room that early. They're like, no, we're not going to go for the hotel room. So I said, okay, you're going to make me drive from Hollywood all the way to fucking Ventura and then back home and then back up to, well, we can't, there's no hotel. So what am I going to do in Ventura from 5 in the fucking morning? You know what I'm saying? Go to the fucking beach, these douchebags. You know, they didn't want to pay. And on the way up, sure enough, I get sick as a dog. I got to drive home with puke in my shirt. I had to take the fucking shirt off and drive with my fat titties out. So, you know what? I'm just going to wait for her because first thing I said, my wife goes, oh, I think she's going to get sick. And the first thing I told my wife, I said, Mercy, are you sick? And she goes, I'm sick, Daddy. And right there, she said, I'm sick. I could hear the boo. And that's a horrible noise to hear your child make. So, for me, I don't give a fuck about San Diego. I just don't want her to get car sick. You know, and yeah, my wife's like, well, once she gets car sick, it goes away. We don't know that. We don't fuck. She's already gotten car sick. One time she got car sick 3 times on one ride. And we weren't even going nowhere. The way Autumn to the knee doctor that time in Marina Del Rey, just as we were pulling into the parking lot. Jeez. She fucking barked everywhere. So I feel bad. But it's been a really weird week because it's been very surreal for me. You know, 15 fucking years with the same woman. And, I mean, I love her to death. I mean, I wouldn't be here without her. I know that, and I'm man enough to admit that, you know. I wouldn't be here at all. She slowed me down a little bit more than prison. She gave me something to think about, you know, and I finally came through. And I wasn't the perfect guy the first 2 fucking years, but I didn't embarrass her or nothing like that. And I'm happy I stuck it out because I became a better man. You know, I didn't know that for sure, that...
I was thinking about that this week because it's 2 years for Paul and I in a couple weeks. And I'm like, wow, Joey and Terry have been together for 8 times as long as that. And it's just, you always talk about like, oh, I didn't think I was going to be alive till 30 or alive till 50. Like, can you imagine, like, if someone had told you you'd be with the same woman for 15 years, that must be pretty crazy.
Well, I always wanted to be with the same woman. I was always looking for somebody to be with, you know. I wasn't looking to sleep around. I was looking to be with one woman because I knew. I knew if I tangled with the right woman, you know, and I, listen, man, people get confused. They all want to grow up to be single. They think it's cool to be single. I didn't want to die by myself. Nobody wants to fucking die by myself. When you're 20, it's cool to say that at the bar in front of your jerk-off fucking buddies, you know. But in reality, you don't. Nobody wants to die by them fucking selves.
It's not even so much that I thought you wanted to be, like, hooking up with different girls or whatever, but... I mean, you tell me, I guess. When you're that much into drugs, do you have girlfriends? Or is it more just like hookups every now and then? Or? Hey,
listen, before Terry, I was single maybe 3 years. Like 2 years. And for 2 years, look at me. Nobody goes on a date with me. But if I had drugs and they came back to the hotel room and things worked out, maybe something would happen. I wouldn't say nothing. You know, I move on with my life and they move on with their life and that's it. It's a great way to live if that's what you want to do. But I wasn't, you know, it wasn't. I knew that for me to be where I wanted to be, and I always thought this after I got married the first time. I knew that when you see a guy and he's got it together and he's got a certain look on his face, he's got something good at the house. You know, I'm not talking about a piece of ass. I'm talking about something all around that's good, that comforts you, that slows you down. That really, sometimes you see a guy and he's really good looking and he's got a girlfriend that's not that good looking or vice versa. It's not about that. It's about what voids they fill. You know, when you look at someone like Bruce Lee, who was a star, and then you look like Linda Lee, she wasn't the best looking woman in the world. But in all the interviews about Linda Lee, they all said that she stopped him in his tracks. There was something about Linda, that Linda could talk to him, that could stop him, that control him, you know. He was buck wild, and that's what Terry did with me at times, you know. Like I said, I stopped doing drugs because, yeah, I promised the cat. But the real truth of that was I didn't want Terry to fucking get a call or find me on the floor. Can you imagine I die in Houston, snorting blow from a heart attack? You got to fly to Houston, get me, come back. I just couldn't let her down, you know. So I'm really happy that we lasted the 15 years. And it was work, you know. But for me, it came easy because I knew I had to work. I knew the mistakes I made when I first was married. And I didn't work. And then when it fell apart, I acted like, what happened? You know what fucking happened. You didn't fucking work. You didn't give in here. You didn't give in there. You know, when you were there, you were bitching, you know.
What did you think, like, when you first started dating, or what did you think it was going to be? Or did you think about it at all?
When I first hooked up with her, she was about 37. I was 37. God knows how old she was. She was, like, fucking 32. You know, we just started dating. We didn't say much. I didn't say much. I was living on somebody's floor.
Yeah, she said you just showed up with your bag.
Yeah, and then one September, like after 3 or 4 months of us dating, I was on the floor sick. And she goes, come over. And I just brought my laundry over there. And then I just stayed. I mean, what was I going to do? And then we built this little fucking house, and we got the cats, and we got everything renovated, and we got new furniture. And, you know, everything we made was like a big celebration. Like I said, I won't throw that television away in my closet because it was the first TV we ever bought.
What kind of TV was it?
Who the fuck knows? It was $200 at Walmart. But guess what? It still works. It's still a tremendous television. It's not computer ready and all that shit. But let me tell you something. In some garage for somebody, that fucking gonna be a badass TV. You know, we bought that. I did a gig somewhere, and I got $500 for the gig. And we banged the check. And we spent $200 on this TV. We couldn't even get it in neon. We had a green neon then. My car had blown up. My car had been towed. When I met her, I had no car. So we shared a car, and I made half the payments. When I started dating her, that was the deal. It was, you know, we started this from scratch. Like, this was, she would make $40, and some days I'd be broke. And, you know, I talk shit about Starbucks, but Starbucks got us out of the hole. Starbucks got us out of the hole. Starbucks changed everything, because we were fucking broke in 2003 or 4, and she quit the comedy store because she switched to accounting. She goes, fuck it, I have a degree. Why am I waitressing?
Right.
So she switched to accounting. So she couldn't get a job. She was getting, like, day jobs. What do they call those? Temp jobs?
Yeah.
And then she got a job at Starbucks, and they really liked her, so they put her in the gay one on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, really?
And she was making $250 to $300 a day in tips.
Really? Midges making coffee?
Because that's the gay one. They were giving $3 a person in there.
Oh, shit.
It's the one of the busiest ones, and the heavy tipping because they're all gay. So we were living off her fucking tips.
Tips are the best.
How crazy is that? We were living off her. She was working 3 shifts, making $800 with a check.
That's pretty sad that she made more Starbucks.
This is 2003. This is before Starbucks knew what was really going on. Once they caught on, they switched everything, the payment, they switched the insurance, or whatever the fuck they do.
Oh, no, but even, I'm just saying, like, when you're at a comedy club and they have a 2-drink minimum, you think you'd make more tips than you would at a Starbucks.
It was really weird. And then she got the call at the Hollywood Bowl. And I got the call for Spider-Man. No, for The Longest Yard. Like, right about that time. She had just started at the Hollywood Bowl, maybe a week before I left. Like I said, when I left for The Longest Yard, she hadn't even gotten her first check yet.
Jesus.
You know, and then it was weird because all those 4 years, we just basically dated, and we lived with each other, but I was always working on the road, and I was just starting my film and television, so I was always auditioning, I was always plotting, and I could see it was wearing her out. I could see that our lives weren't mingling.
Was this during the time where you'd go out on the road for a couple months at a time?
Oh, fuck, no. A couple weeks at a time. 2-3 weeks at a time. 2 weeks, Christmas, New Year's. So I never got to see her. I got to see her at night for 2 hours, and I gave her the money I got or whatever. You know, it was just really weird. And then during The Longest Yard one day, I got up at 4:05. Like, I slept one night instead of doing blow till 5 in the morning. I got up, and this was the first week that we were working here, and she put my clothes out for me. In the shower, I said, you know, I have to start giving her more attention. Because anybody who gets up at 4 in the morning and puts your football uniform out deserves a little bit more attention. And ever since that was when I started doing date nights, and I could see she was getting happier, you know, and I think at that, like, 8th year mark, we started drifting again. I went into a little funk after the longest yard, and then after the strike in 2007.
Yeah.
I went into a little funk, man. It was terrible, Lee.
Just because you couldn't find acting work?
Couldn't find acting work. I was at a crossroads with stand-up. You know, here I was, you know, fucking 43 years old, and I'm a mediocre stand-up. I'm getting kind of roles here and there. Yeah, I'm making strides, but they were slow strides. Do you follow me? And then it just shut down. Then after My Name is Earl, I did like 6 episodes of My Name is Earl, and then there's a fucking strike. And I'm sitting there, and nobody's talking, nobody's doing nothing. And my stand-up is wobbly, you know, I'm just going up there, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, you know, and something happened. I joined Kung Fu. I started losing weight. I started working on the weight. You know, whatever was fucking with my mind, I said, I'm not going to take care with depressants and nothing. I'm going to go and take care with exercise. I'm going to make exercise. I'm going to go back to where I started. When I came from Cuba and everything, I went to karate. I'm going to go back to a regular karate class and sit in the back with kids and be the fat guy in a fucking suit in the back and throwing halfway kicks and breathing heavy and turning red in the face, you know. But I did that for a while, and I did that for like 3 years until we moved to the Valley. And during that was one day I was talking to the guy, and he said something that just made a ton of sense. And I got in my car, and I picked up the phone. I called Terry at work, and I go, listen, it's September something. I think we should get fucking married. And she said, when? I go, let's get married the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Nobody does that. And it was one of the best calls I've ever made in my life, man. You know, everything blossomed from then. We moved up here. We got the place up here. We got the extra cat.
Were you thinking about it before? Because knowing you, you're not really one to make impulsive decisions, it doesn't seem like.
Listen, what did he say? You lose more by indecision? What does he say in that scene?
Oh, it's a...
Yeah, when he tells the guy, same thing.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers, man, sit here around. You know, listen, you know that moment where you love that woman. You know, I mean, not with the part when you put the fucking plunger in her ass and pull it out and, I love this girl. And then when she cheats on you with the guy next door, you're in shock because you married a fucking hooker and a half. But I'm talking about this, that one day, that one moment in their relationship where you either got to sit, and you know it. That's why you either run like a motherfucker or you conquer it. You know it. A guy knows it when it's that time. And some women hint it and fucking drive you crazy, but some women don't say a fucking word, and they're the ones that are more dangerous, like Terry. She didn't say nothing about it. She went home, and she saw her sister-in-law and her brother with a baby. And I could tell she came back and she's like, this guy's never going to give me a baby. I love him, but maybe we should break up and I should start over. And I didn't want to lose her. I'm like, well, if I lose Terry, I would be done. That would be my biggest flop.
She never once in the, I don't know how many years you guys were together before you were married?
No, we would goof around and stuff. And she'd say, you're not going to ask me anyway. And one day I just said on the phone, I called up, I called her father after that, said, I want to marry her. He cried. I cried, and then we got shitty rings. She made the cake. You know, I had a suit. She bought a dress. We rented a place in Wilshire. There was no celebrities. There was no helicopters. There was no stupidity. There was nothing. It was just two people getting married. I didn't have ushers. I didn't have people driving. You came as you came. We didn't even want a gift. We just wanted to celebrate a wedding, man. Everything is bullshit. Everybody gets married for the wrong fucking reasons in this country. And then when they get married, it's a $10,000, $20,000. Why? Why? I don't even fucking like you. Why are we spending all this dough for? You know, because that's what you know. And you have to somewhere along the line go, listen, man, this is about love. This has nothing to do about your cousin or your mother or my mother or my stepfather. It has nothing to do with nobody. We could either drop 30 or we could drop 5 and do it for us. And have a great time and save money. And that's when you really love somebody. You know, I was looking at that, you know, all those black chicks from The View. Sherry Shepherd, the one before her. They had sensational weddings with P. Diddy and Oprah was there and a lot of fakeness and fucking armpit stink. under a fucking tent in the summer. And look at them now. She's paying child support, the other one, all those fucking $500,000 weddings to show our love. Everybody's dressed in white like this chick never sucked a dick before. You know, stop it. You know, right there, you're fucking lying to me. Why are we lying to each other?
Right.
Let's just go in there and make this for ourselves. And it fucking worked. It fucking worked, man. We had a great time. And I'm happy. And it's been a struggle. It's been a fucking struggle. But that's what marriage is. And if you bail, you know, we live in times in this country where people have a hard time and they fucking bail on a marriage.
Yeah.
They bail. And listen, I get it. This guy's drinking. He's a fucking junkie. And, you know, you can only give him so many chances. But I've heard couples bail for less reasons, you know, for fucking less reasons.
And that, I mean, that doesn't mean that you guys don't fight, because I've seen you guys not have like a physical fight at all, but you guys get angry at each other, and sometimes she'll, like, her and I have to talk sometimes for the podcast, and she'll be like, oh, Joey or this or Joey that, and then, but it's, you guys have like a, it's not like vicious or anything like that.
Listen, brother, every day can't be fucking roses in nobody's relationships. Every relationship has peace and valley.
Yeah.
As long as you know that going in, when you're young, you don't know that going in. Something goes sideways and we bail. It's our natural instinct. Instead of stepping back, some of us get into an argument, you step back, you go in there, you apologize, and you work around that situation. I didn't do that. At 25, I didn't do that. Nobody fucking does that at 25. Nobody has that type of logic. You know, when we're 25, 26, and we get married and it's a mistake, we're fucking weak. Because we know we can go right back to the bar.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm missing out. My buddies are getting their ass, their dick sucked, and people flying off handles, and everybody's doing drugs, and I'm with this fucking hook-faced bitch, you know, sitting here talking about dishes and her mother's fucking missing foot. Who gives a fuck, you know? So
right. There's
that thing, you know. Nah, man, marriage is a lot of fucking work. A relationship is hard work. Whether you're dating or whatever, you have to throw your cards on the table.
I thought about you the other day, because actually I sat Paula down, and I just talked to her just because I'm starting to look to do some stuff on the road a little bit, and I'm just trying to work more. Like, I actually went and thought about what you said about, like, that I should be doing that stuff on Friday, and I said it just because I was like, you've said that to me a bunch of times, and I've heard you tell it to other people that you have to set it from the beginning, and that way, like, you won't get into a fight 6 months down the road.
Listen, man, there's nothing I like more than hanging out with Terry when I was hanging out with Terry. I just told Terry now. We were in the room watching Halloween Night, Ghost on Bright, and she's singing, and she's going, ooh, and she's vampire. And my wife goes, where are you going? I go, I'm going to do a podcast. And I went in the bathroom to brush my teeth, and she followed me, and she goes, you know, really, you're leaving? And I go, the fuck do you think I do? There's a time for fun and fucking games, and there's a time, because it happened to me when she was pregnant. I forgot about everything. I was there catering for her. I wouldn't write material. I would, and that's what you're supposed to do as a man, but your other responsibility as a man is covering the spread. And I didn't say it to you in the wrong way. I said it to you that Monday because you came on the podcast one day and you said you needed money. And I don't, you know, in my world, when you need money, you rep up your fucking sleeves.
Yeah.
And you go to work. You need money, you have to look mom in the face and say, this is what I do. But we had plans. I don't give a fuck what plans. Jesus had plans, and he died, okay? Jesus had plans on a Thursday night, and look what happened to him. You know, we got to work. We work. I don't know what the fuck world you come from. You're Mexican, you know. It's in your blood. We work, Jack. I'm Jewish. We work.
And she was really cool with it. But
yeah, sure she is.
I was thinking about it, and I was like, because I have to go. Now like, there's 3 weeks in August when we're not going to see each other, really. And I was like, oh, I should say something now. Just so she, I mean, she understood.
Bro, a woman understands. A fucking freak of nature. Duh. Well, I'm going to have to go out and meet other men. You know, what do you think these guys do? What do you think these guys do to support your fucking spoiled ass? You got to work.
Yeah.
Unless money comes down from the fucking stars and I don't know about it. Unless you know something I fucking don't know, we got to work. And it's not even that, Lee. It's more of a discipline. Yeah, I love you. I'll see you at 1. From 8 to 1. I'm going to work my ass. So I'm going to make those emails. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to go food. You know what I'm saying? The things I need. It's a piece, it's air. You always need those 2 hours. You're always thinking. You don't work for somebody. You don't go in on Monday at 9. They give you orders for the week and you leave on Friday. You're always creating. you're always looking. You know, people hit me up, oh, what are you doing Joey Karate videos? When hell freezes over. I've evolved from that. You know, I'm thinking of doing some other fucking jiu-jitsu video. I'm thinking of doing 1,000 things. We never called V back. We never called the kid that fucking came in for the thing back. You know, my days change from day to day.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate to be able to even do the podcast. 3 people call me every week to do a fucking podcast. When? I got a call from what's his name? 3, a month ago to come down and do the podcast. The fighter and the kid come back. It's been a month ago. A month. You know, we don't have the fucking time. The time, you know, I wish I had time to jump up and shoot fucking videos. And even when she's at school, I got 3 days a week. This week was great. The last 2 days, Lee, have been great because I really haven't had much on the books. It's given me a chance to clean up those emails. You know those emails that you went to? You ever go to Olds and you're like, why do I have Lee's shoe size in here from 2010? You know, I cleaned out all that shit. I cleaned out 3 boxes of paperwork in my shelves. Auditions, plane tickets, you know, itineraries. I did little things. I took a fucking box of clothes for these people across the street here, the Goodwill. You know, I had 1 sock of one, 1 sock of the other, 82 black shirts, you know, concert. I had so much shit to do. Tomorrow I'm going to bring up the casing I bought to fit more clothes, and so I got to move all. So I gave away half the books I had. By the way, I'm reading a good fucking book, Duff McKagan's book, the guy from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, shit.
It's called It's So Easy. Holy shit. This guy's fucking pancreas blew up. That's how much he was drinking. His pancreas grew to the size of a football and blew the fuck up, dog. He's on whatever the fuck you call it, dialysis for the rest of his life. He was drinking 10 bottles of wine just to start off with. Fuck my little stars of death. I'm a fucking half a fruitcake compared to that fucking guy. Now, listen, man, the work ethic, the commitment, you know, everybody quits before the miracle happens. They don't, you know, everybody quits before the miracle happens. You're an independent contractor. So what do you say? You look at me and you go, you know, Joey, if I can put 5 hours down a day, that's 25 hours a week. A couple hours with you, do a couple hours hustling T-shirts, podcasts. That's all you need. But you're never in the position to take a day off.
Right, yeah.
On Saturdays, who the fuck takes a Saturday off? Yeah, I take a Saturday off, but I'm still writing. I'm still, when I'm on the road, that's why I like going on the road, because I get to clean up all that shit. Some days I walk and I think of something stupid and I write it the fuck down. Never go on the fucking Jersey Mike's again.
Why?
Disgusting service. It's getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. You know why? Because they always ask you what you want in your sandwich when you're not in front of them. And then by the time you get to the cashier, they give you a sandwich got vinegar and oil. Who said vinegar and oil on this fucking thing? Do I want Mike's way on a fucking turkey? Who puts vinegar and oil on a fucking turkey sandwich?
Not me.
No, I hope not.
Yeah, I always wondered why they did that. Like when you're next in line, they ask you.
Yeah, they ask you. Everywhere I ask you when you're there. No, they ask you when you're a mile away, then they fuck the sandwich up. And I caught the guy for. And it's always a guy with a fucking tattoo on his forearm. I don't know what it is with tattoos on your left forearm. You're fucking retarded. The ink goes to the fucked up side of your brain, and you can't make a fucking sandwich. You know, I swear to God, it's always a kid with a. And every time I see a guy at Jersey Mike's with a fucking forearm tattoo on his left side, the inside forearm, I go, there goes my fucking sandwich.
So you back to Subway?
No, not in a million years. Not in a million fucking years. I'm done with sandwiches. Look at the size. No, but every time I go to whatever, I get the regular fucking turkey, and they fuck it up. Last time they put mustard on it. Who puts mustard on turkey unless you're Hillbilly Joe? You
do. Brown mustard.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you can't have mayo all the time.
Yes, you can. Oh, that's what
it's really
for.
Bad calorie-wise.
No. Listen.
Well, you're not going to have light mayo. That's disgusting.
Listen, what would you rather eat? That fucking bland turkey or a nice roast beef and cheese? Tell me the truth.
I don't think turkey's bland. I mean, roast beef and cheese is nice.
Okay, then shut the fuck up. What I'm trying to say to you is you're already suffering by eating that fucking bland turkey that they got from some farm that don't have no flavor to it. They got to put 10 pounds of salt on it, okay? You got to put a little mayonnaise on it. You're already cutting half the fucking fat if you would have had cheese, cheddar cheese and roast beef. That's my you give and take a little bit.
Okay.
You follow me? You have a brown mustard on fucking mayonnaise. What are you on turkey? So I'm done with those cocksuckers, too. Customer service has died in this country. And now they want to give them a raise to $15 an hour. That's 6 bills a week to do what? Fuck up my sandwich?
Well, I mean, what will happen if they do raise it to 15 is they're going to hire better people. It's going to be the shitty people, and then young high school kids won't have jobs. Or they'll hire, like, they'll make computers to do it.
So that's what I need. Some fucking machine from outer space making my fucking sandwich. That's what I need in this day and age.
Not to make the sandwich, but to, like, take the order. Like, I have no idea how McDonald's even has employees anymore.
Why is that?
Because you could just use a computer, really, up until the sandwich.
When was the last time you hit McDonald's with Mama?
Oh. We had McDonald's like a few months ago, but I'm excited for it. I haven't had it forever. Sales are down. Do you see that? I'm sure convinced it's because of me.
Sure it is, because I got you off that shit, eating that fucking shit. You're going to sit there one day when you're 50 and go, I still have an asshole because of Joey. They have to lock this one up and drill one under my nutsack. That's good, man. No. I'm happy that, and you know what? At this age, and then what's going on in my life, my wife is happy. She smiles a lot. She's having a great time with the baby. You know, it's hard to believe this, but I got to say it. It's just the real first person I've made happy. You know, like I'm genuine, and I work really hard to make her happy. I don't want this to be a unpleasant experience for her until after the baby goes to be 5. I don't give a fuck what happens. But till now, I wanted to be happy with the baby and have a good time with the baby because that shows in the baby's happiness, you know?
Well, what do you mean make happy? Because you have a ton of friends who love you. So
it's different. It's different. It's somebody who you genuinely looked at you. She had no reason to trust me 15 years ago, man. Do you know what I'm saying? She had no reason to fucking trust me. And I didn't. She came to me like after 3 weeks and she's like, all these people are coming up to me and scaring me. What did you do? You went to prison? And
she had no idea?
Yeah, she knew, but she didn't, you know? And then I started sleeping over there, right? Like, little by little, like one night here, one night here. And one night, I called Marilyn from there, right? And Marilyn called back, like, at 3 in the morning. And my wife answered. Marilyn's like, cocksucker. And my wife's like, who the fuck is this? And she's like, Marilyn. And my wife liked Marilyn, you know, my wife, we went over there 1,000 times, but like a week later, Dice called over there one night at 3 in the morning, and she was like, listen, man, one day she sat me down, and she's like, I don't know if you can stay here anymore at night. You can come over, we can hang out, but you got to go home, because I never seen anything like this. Every time you hear the phone rings all hours of the night, people yelling cocksucker on the phone, she couldn't handle it at first. I remember the first time Felipe came over to visit me. With Zhivago and the guy, and Ivan, the guy that works for Gabriel, his personal top assistant. I'll never forget that. Them coming over, and we were going to smoke pot in the backyard, and the look on her face, she was like, you know these guys? I'm like, that's my fucking brother, Felipe Esparza.
What did Felipe look like back then?
Jesus Christ, like a, you know, like hell roamed over. Like a fucking, one of the guys that was chasing Mad Max, you know? I don't fucking know. He was just different, and he was wild, and he had a wild look in his eye. We were both doing drugs, and, you know, it was a different fucking time, you know?
That's crazy.
She couldn't handle it. And then right before 9/11, I think I moved in, and we were cool. And nobody really knew we were dating. And one night we went to Rouse to go food shopping, and we bumped into Eleanor.
And Eleanor Kerrigan?
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? And we're like, we thought you knew. She's like, no, I didn't know this. And I was giving her a hard time because my wife bought margarine then. I'm like, margarine? Who eats margarine? Put that down. We go with lightly salted fucking butter. What savage is here? She's like, but margarine is cheap. I don't give a fuck. We don't eat margarine in this house. You think I got on a fucking plane to eat margarine when I'm in jail? Fucking margarine. Yeah, my wife was a Gentile. We had to switch her over on a couple things.
I think a lot of people eat margarine, though.
Fuck no.
Except all these rules.
Unless you're a communist, you eat fucking margarine. Who eats margarine? That fake fucking butter.
Some people.
Yeah, like you with the fucking frying pan.
I have the spray butter.
Yeah, wait till that thing blows up in your fucking cabinet, cocksucker. You're going to splay it like that fucking when I don't even know what the
juicer?
The juicer. Yeah, what happened to the juicer?
Still there. Maybe I should eBay that. That'd be funny.
You should eBay Lee's juicer, and we'll put like some THC juice in that motherfucker so they can really juice to death.
That's what he kept telling me to do, and like, there's no way you can juice weed.
Yes, you can.
You come over, and you're like, when are you going to put some weed in that? Like, you can't put weed in that thing.
Tony, you don't know what you were missing. I think if they put weed in that juicer, it'd be a lot better for people. that kills
shit.
There's
no liquid in it, though. It's like all dry and
you
shit.
You don't need. Just the leaves, the same shit. Give it a shot. Let's make a little pineapple juice with some THC crystals in that motherfucker. See if you don't see the devil.
I'm sure I'd see the devil.
Okay, then. What are you? I'm happy for the 4th of July. There'll be some fireworks. I get scared.
You don't like fireworks?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a gun or a fucking machine gun. We're getting attacked by ISIS. Now we're getting attacked by ISIS this weekend. That's what we need now in this country. New York's on high alert. Everybody's on high fucking alert. And they're going to attack. It just makes sense.
You think this weekend they're going to do it?
Oh, if you believe the news, it's every fucking weekend.
Yeah. I saw that tweet that guy supposedly put up for Phoenix or whatever. But
what do you say?
I don't know. He's like, what do you think your guns are going to do against our IED or something? And I'm like, maybe, but are they really that stupid? Or
well, they want
to. I felt like it was a troll.
Terrorism is to disrupt the way we live. Even if they don't attack, just to inflict fear, just for Americans to have that fear, you know?
What about those people up in New York who had to be, like, in their houses for 3 weeks while they look for those guys who escaped?
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's a whole shit situation. 3 weeks on the fucking loose. You know, my wife was saying something, and I go, that's an embarrassment for the fucking cops.
Yeah, that's why they shot both of them.
Two fucking momos were running around for 3 fucking weeks. You got helicopters, technology, see-through glasses, and these two fucking third graders were in a hut somewhere eating fucking candy bars, and you're out there with dogs and technology. They should be shot and hung, and the whole jail was corrupt. Listen, I don't have all the facts.
They said
I don't give a fuck.
They suspended like 12 workers.
Yeah, everybody was in on it.
Well, I mean, when you were in jail, was there ever a guard you could pay to do something for you or anything like that?
I never got to that part.
You weren't there for that long?
I was in medium security at the diagnostic. I never, listen, man, what is the fucking point of escaping unless you got a life sentence?
Yeah, one guy was almost done. He was over halfway done. The other guy had a life
sentence. They're fucking morons. Listen, in today's society, they're going to catch you. There's too many things against you. You have to be very smart and very well financed to get out of here, go through Mexico, pay people off, go to a fucking hut, live. You got to have $200,000 in your surplus because you don't know when they're around the corner. You don't have to, let me go get my ATM. You don't fucking know. Your ATM machine gets stopped. All that shit gets caught now. You can't open up a bank account unless you got paperwork up the fucking yin yang. So, you know, where you gonna, unless they give it to you and somebody gives you like a PIN number or something, you know, you have to have, when they caught Whitey Bulger, what do you have on him?
He had a ton of money in his room or whatever.
To be a successful escapee, you got to be financed out the asshole. You got to know people who are juiced because you can't stay here. You cannot stay here with all the fucking rats and rewards, and you cannot stay here. You could fuck with them. You could throw them off for a while, but they're going to get you 5, 6, 7 years in, a traffic stop. Something, an ID, something. Once they fingerprint you, it's lights fucking out. You get stitches, you go to a hospital, God forbid, something. So you need to be well financed. You need to get the fuck out of this country.
Yeah, and Whitey Bulger wasn't even in jail. He just left before they...
Paperwork.
Yeah.
You know, you got to know the local cops and pay them off. So if somebody inquires, they could call you and go, hey, they're on their way down here. Somebody reported you on America's Most Wanted. And now you can fly to Mazatlan on a fucking boat. You got to have multiple passports, multiple fucking things. You know, it's just too much. And you two fucking white dudes with Confederate flags, where are you going to go? It wasn't planned out. Yeah, one guy was going to go to Mexico. They had one gun. They were going to kill the guard's husband. It was just too fucking much, man.
Yeah.
I never thought one time about it. And when I was in Camp George West, I was there for fucking 8 months, 7 months. Let me tell you something. Nobody ever thought about it. You could just jump a fucking fence. And it's right there. It's right there. It just doesn't make sense. Unless you have a life fucking sentence. And because you're not even going to die in these days. Not anymore, right? How long does it take for an appeal to fucking end? 29,000 years?
Yeah.
By that time, you're going to be dead anyway. So... when do you escape? I mean, at what point do you escape? Something has to make you escape. If I know I got 30 mil in fucking Europe waiting for me, I'm out of there.
Well, you said you drove some vans for the prison, right? To go get food or something?
Right.
not one part of you ever was like, I could just drive off right now?
All of them said it, goofing around. We could just drive off right now. Now what? Now you're driving down I-70 with an orange fucking jumpsuit. Okay, you tell your girlfriend, that dummy, to pull over. How much money she's fucking got? She's going to tell somebody, too. So now you got three people that fucking know. Okay, now where are you going to go? You're in Colorado. So this van isn't. So you have to do it so you have the longest amount of time until they know. So let's say you leave at 8 and you don't have to come back till 12. That gives you a 4-hour start. That's a beautiful thing. You drive the fucking Invix. You drive somewhere. You meet your fucking girlfriend. You get different ID and you go right to the local airport and fly the hell out of there. And hopefully, you know, they won't see you. That's one way. You fly into somebody else's name. You have a fake ID. Go right to Denver Airport or charter a fucking plane. Charter a plane under her name. Put a disguise on. And shoot the fuck out of there. First of all, they know your girlfriend's name. She's come to visit you in jail, whatever the fuck. They have all this shit on paperwork.
Right.
So they're going to go right to her job. And what are they going to tell her? She hasn't been here for 3 days. Boom. Now you're a fucking fugitive. She told the sister. She told somebody. No chick leaves without telling somebody. Okay? And eventually that chick, whoever she told, is going to crack. And what do you have? You get caught, man. And then it gets worse for you. Then you'll never get bail. Then you'll always be in a maximum security until the end of your sentence, you know?
They said they were going to put this guy who they just caught in solitary for a minimum of 7 years. That's fucking...
So what the fuck? You know, and listen, he gave it that old New York try.
He got within 2 miles of Canada, but I would think Canada would extradite you, so I don't even think there's a big deal.
Now you got to go somewhere and get a job. And what's the first thing you gotta do when you fucking get a job? You're gonna get a check and do drugs. You're gonna go to a fucking bar. And that's when the problem starts all over again. Every time you go to that bar, every time you buy a bag of weed, your fucking chances improve of getting fucking nailed. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about prison. I was thinking about, I'm trying to write, man. Sometimes when I write something, I discover other things that I forget about my life. And I was thinking about this dude, and Timmy Holloway will listen to this, and I don't know if he remembers this guy. When I was a kid, right after my mother died, I was very weak, and I didn't know, and I was angry at the world. And at that time, people had given me money at the funeral. And I had put some money away, and I had a little gig. Carmine got me a little gig. And this kid came into my life that I had always known. His name was Mike Denny. They called him the devil. And they didn't call him the devil because he was a nice kid. They called him the devil because he was the fucking devil. He was a state championship wrestler. He went to like a big time college, but then he quit because his father owned a ship. When a ship comes off the ocean, when they dock and they take everything out, they're fucked up the ships. Him and his father and his brothers would go on that ship, paint everything, take the rust off, fix this, fix that, weld that back, do this, pick up the ship. They'd do everything. The ship had 20 days. You had to do 40 days worth of work in 20 days. So Mike Denny worked 16 hours a day. He was one of the hardest working kids. But he also stole everything that wasn't glued down. And I was his assistant. So what I would do is, this is how I broke into thief. Like, I was always a fucking piece of shit thief. But how I got creepier was hanging out with Mike Denny. Because Mike Denny had no conscience. Mike Denny would steal anything. You know, I would call Mike Denny at night and go, what's up? Nothing. Where are you? Home. I'm picking you up at the Benders. He'd pick me up, and we'd go to Newark, and we'd steal 4 fucking things that he had put out, that he had stole from the ship, and he was going to sell it to somebody else, a different contractor. He stole something every day, guys. Every day we stole something. And a lot of times I was hanging out with a Villo. I'd be hanging out with my friends that were my age. But on some nights, he would call me up and go, dog, I got some great blow. You want to do some coke tonight? Fuck yeah. And I go over there. And that was my first taste of the mafia without being in the mafia. He wasn't Italian, but it's the ship business. All he hung out with was Italian people. And he was robbing these people.
Just from the ships he was working on?
He was robbing. I mean, dog, when I was with him, we robbed ships. We robbed drug dealers. We robbed people on the street. I saw him beat the fuck out of a uniformed cop one time in the Bronx. He was tough, and he was crazy. You know what he's in jail for? Killing his wife in North Carolina.
Motherfucker.
I mean, this guy was nuts. I must have hung out with
him. You don't want to get caught like that.
No, and I knew at that time I had a combination death wish.
Well, yeah, man. Can you believe you're, like, you say it sometimes, but I didn't know some of that stuff. Like, how,
oh my
you've
God.
Died like 9,000 times.
Oh, my God. I hung out with Mike Denny, like, on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. And we'd always do drugs. We'd always go into the city. There was always, everything we did, and he was robbing me. I mean, let's say we robbed four things, and we got $1,000. He'd give me $200 and tell me all he got was $350. He was giving me $200 because he liked me, and I'm like, you motherfucker. You know, and I knew it, but I didn't care because he was introducing me to people. I was learning. I mean, you know, he had no character. He had no couth. He had no class. There was nothing to this guy. You know, if he didn't have something to steal, he would go rob one of his friends. Like, I remember him stealing sheet metal. Like, if we didn't steal something, he had some place where he'd go. And he'd take three sheets of sheet metal off, get $300 a sheet in those days, and give me $200 out of the $900. And we'd go into the city and we'd buy blow or something like that. I was 16 hanging out with this fucking 22-year-old that had an RX-7. We went to concerts. We went to, you know, he always had a fake ID for me. He always knew the doorman at bars, you know, like, yo, he would take me to bars where he knew the people. So I would be up at the fucking bar drinking with these guys. But he was evil.
16 and 22. Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. But I used to make money with him. I stopped hanging out with him because I think I stopped hanging out with him towards the... Once I lived uptown, April of 8, I hung out with him probably from summer of 79... to like summer of 81. Like, it was like a 2-year apprenticeship I did under this fucking thief, this creature of a man. I've been telling a story about a guy that made a chick suck 16 dicks after a football game in high school.
Right.
That we called the marathon woman. You know who the guy that was pimping her out, that was making her do that? Jimmy Denny, his brother.
What the fuck?
The whole family was like the devil. He was a twin. He had a twin sister, Janie, who was fucking gorgeous. She had big blue eyes and big titties even back then. Then he had a brother that looked like fucking a big Santa Claus with a beard. And then his father would always sit in the chair drunk and he would go, "How you doing, Coco? Thanks for coming over and hanging out and stuff." The father was pretty cool. I don't remember the mom. I remember the three fucking, the brother, the sister, then the creepy brother. He thought he was Jimmy Page. The one that got the chick marathon. Like, she would blow 16 guys and he'd make out with her. Like, he was a nasty, and he had no teeth, but he had false teeth. He would put them in and take them out and shit. Jimmy Denny, hysterical.
You never said she was being pimped out.
He wasn't pimping her out. Like, let's say I'd see Jimmy Denny, right? I'd be walking home and I'd see Jimmy go, "Coco, come over here." He'd go, "Say hello to Arlene." And then Arlene would say, "Hi, Coco." And he'd go, "You like Arlene, Coco? Arlene, why don't you suck my friend's dick?" And she'd go, "Come on. Come on, suck his dick one time. Just suck it on the side. I'll look out. Come on, I'll take care of you later. You know I love you." He would talk her into sucking. That's that chick marathon. I don't know if Arlene was a name. I'm just making that up. But that's how what he would do to chicks. Like, he was like 2 or 3 years older than I was, Jimmy Denny, because his brother Mike was older than Jimmy. And Jimmy looked older because he had no teeth. Sometimes he took his teeth out and he'd be like this and he'd put them back in. And he had long, creepy hair. And fucking long, freaky fingernails, and they play. He thought he was Jimmy Page and shit.
Did they live in, like, a trailer?
No. They had a nice house. They lived on Murderer's Row. They lived on the street.
That might have been it.
They lived on the street where I hung out a lot, and it was a good street to live on. It was next to Gunter Brown, where I did heroin the first time. Across from Joe Rayo, who was a cop, a dear friend of mine, who had two brothers, one of them ended up killing the fucking... the flower guy up the corner by my house, the gay guy, hit him with a shovel or some shit. He did time. Then the other brother was a cop, and he got arrested for corruption. That's Joe Rail. Then the guy next to him went to Flannery's or something. They had a cute sister. She was good friends with me, dear friends, very nice, very polite. And she had a brother that was very nice, and he joined the service, and he came home on leave one night, went to Union City in the 80s when it was gunner root time, and he went into a Cuban restaurant, started talking shit, and one of them Cubans fucking shot him, dog. He didn't die. He fucking lived, but he got shot in Union City. And then up the corner from them was the Morans, Kathy Moran, where I used to hang out in the house. She used to be a track runner. And when I used to be in shape for basketball, her and I would run at night. And then next to them was the Garcias. And under the Garcia was Martin the Fag, Martin the Fag was the coke dealer I robbed, who was good friends with my mother. After my mother died, I robbed him. He put a Santeria fucking spell on me, that cocksucker. Across from that was the Jansons. That was Murderer's Row. That was a good street. The Longos lived up the corner. Nancy Longo, she's on Facebook all fucked up today, talking about Jesus and fucking whatever the fuck she's talking about. So that's why it's Murderer's fucking Row. And I walked on that block a lot, because you got to walk on there to go to the Spick store. Right around the corner from Gunther Brown, there was the Spick store, Herman the Spick, who was friends with Martin the Fag.
Of course.
No, they weren't friends. They were brother and brother.
Uh-oh.
But Herman the Spick hated Martin the Fag, even though they were brothers, and he was married to some chick. The chick ended up cheating on him. This is years after I left Jersey.
With Martin?
Nah, Martin was a fag, but Herman's wife cheated on him. She was a good-looking Cuban woman. Herman hit her, and they put him in jail, and he killed himself in the jail cell.
Jesus.
Very tragic street. That's why I call it Murderer's Row. Right across the street from Jay Horan's son, where I saw the black guy's head get caught by the fucking, thing that, you know, when you pick shit up and you move it?
Yeah.
What is that called?
The hand cart?
Hand cart. Yeah. I saw his head get caught in the hand cart. That's a tremendous street. I played football on that street. Jimmy and Johnny Rail, those are the names. They were twins. Joe Rail was the brother I hung out with that ended up being a cop. Very dear friend of mine. I love him with all my heart. But he had two brothers, man, that were twins. One of them robbed my house right before my mother died. He robbed 8 ounces of pot out of my basement. I love those motherfucking twins. They're the first person who's ever turned me on to dark rye. I went to their house, and their father gave me a dark rye sandwich with, like, ham and cheese. My fucking taste buds almost blew up. Remember I told you I had a piece of dark rye about 3 weeks ago? My head almost blew up. I hadn't had that shit in fucking 30 years. But that was Murderer's Row. And the Denny's lived next to the fucking Gunter, that where I did heroin the first time. So they were kind of close. And it's weird now looking back that they were both like devilish motherfuckers, and they hung out with each other. And I got, you know, today I have no... Mike Denny taught me a lot. You know why he taught me? He taught me about con men. Because he was a fucking con man. And you know what I learned from looking at Mike Denny? You just walk away. Like, you don't even get into talking with them. Because once you get into conversation with a con man, he's got you. He's got you. Like, he's got you. Like, you were walking down a fucking street, they got this new thing now, and somebody comes up to you and says, here's a gift for you, a box. And then they give you a piece of paper, and it's like $149, and you have to give them the box back. But he already got possession of the fucking box. Those are con men. Those Africans you see in New York selling watches, whatever, fake, they're con men. You never stop. You never even look at those. They're the devil. And I'm not saying these, I'm just saying, and that's what Mike Denny's lesson was. Like, I don't talk to nobody. Ever since then, I don't know nothing. Hey, man, come here. Psst. I got a deal for you. 10 ounces of blow. I don't know nothing. Yeah, but you and Lee were just over there buying coke. Me? I don't know nothing. And the more you talk, like, if you say anything else except I don't know nothing, you lost. Like, yeah, you and Lee were over there buying coke. Once you go, no, me and Lee were not. You lost. Don't say a word. I don't know nothing. And keep walking as you're saying, I don't know nothing. And they think you're crazy. I don't know nothing. What that dude say to me last week? Can I talk to you for a second? The one I gave the shirt to and the $5 by the Bank of America. What he said, don't listen to a word. A tip of gore is a whore or some shit. I don't know nothing. I don't fucking know nothing. I don't know. I like these people that twit me and say, who you bringing to the next time? I don't know nothing. And they sit and they're like, well, I don't know nothing. Hey, listen, get this guy on the podcast. Sure, whatever. Absolutely, I'm on it. I'll call him right now. I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing. You understand me? That's the fucking key word, Lisa.
That's the name of your next special.
That's the name of my next special. I don't fucking know nothing.
Call it epileptical.
Yeah, Mike Denny would set up fucking like... Like, Mike Denny would set up, like, Mike Denny would call him and say, hey, man, like, Lee got any blow tonight?
Hell yeah.
Like, he'd go, you're friends with Lee. Like, he knew I was friends with Lee. He'd call me up, he'd go, hey, man, your friend Lee, you got any blow tonight? Yeah. You think he's got an 8-ball? Yeah, he'll sell you an 8-ball. Well, then he'd say to me, what do you think he's got in the house? That was the question. That's how I knew he was going to start tricking. And then he would call you in front of me and start with, hey, man. Listen, I got a deal tonight. Let me buy an 8-ball from you. Let me get it for $200. And now I come back, give you the second one for $350, and he just confused you. He was brilliant. And I'd sit there and go, that's my friend you're robbing. No, 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 no. And he'd get pissed off at me. Joey, it's business. No, it's not business. You're going to rob him, and then you're going to set up a problem with me, and then I love this guy. So it got into too many of those with him. I learned what it was to be a con man. He was brilliant. It was in his blood. I don't know how the fuck. And he went up to strangers. He did the creepiest fucking things, Lee. I don't know how the fuck he got away with it. And, you know, he was one of those guys, man, that I ain't going to lie to nobody. At that age, I knew I was going to end up in jail. The problem and the question was when. I always knew he was going to end up in jail. Like, I forgot all about him, like Lucy Snorbush. Like, it was one of those things in my life that I just remembered Mike Denny 3 weeks ago. I was writing about that time period, and I thought of a particular story one night, and I was like, I was with Mike Denny. Oh, my God. One of the worst things I ever saw with Mike Denny that made me really stop hanging with Mike Denny was I saw a car accident. We were the fifth people when we got there. We got there as the ambulance got there, and I could hear the girl screaming. And they had to get the jaws of life to cut them out. He was dead. The guy was dead. And we were on acid. Me and Mike Denny. That's why I don't drink and drive today. That's the reason.
That's a good reason.
New Year's 1980 to 81. We went to a concert. I don't remember what concert we went to. I wish I fucking remembered. And we were going to a concert the next day. And then we were just taking a ride. And we went out. I don't think we were drinking. I think we smoked a joint. We were listening to, like, Aerosmith in the car. And we saw it at the light. Like, we were at a light, and we saw the whole thing. And then we saw people running over there. And then as we pulled up real slow, they couldn't get out. Something was on fire. It was horrible, Lee. And I remember the cop, when the cops were cutting the thing out, one of the cops came back or something and said there were vodka bottles in there. They were drinking. And I remember how that always stuck with me, like her yells and the vodka bottles. And I remember getting in the car, going home, and going, one thing I know for sure is I'm never fucking drinking and driving. Like, I'm never fucking drinking and driving. Like, done. At that age right there, which was, you know, 34-something years ago. So it was very interesting. I'm telling you, I learned a lot with Mike Denny. It was, I wish him luck.
Did you guys ever talk?
Me and Mike ended in a good way, but I'd see him out, and he'd try to work me, and I'd tell him, yeah, I'd call him, and then I'd never call him. And then he just drifted away, and I drifted away. We went to a fucking good concert. We went to see him and I was young, and he took me to see the New Barbarians, which was the Stones without Mick Jagger. It was Keith Richards and Ron Wood and Stanley Clark, and he took me to that concert. He took me to a lot of neat things, man. I had a lot of great times with him, but everything was always a fucking crime. Everything. We didn't do anything on the legit, you know? And at that time, yeah, I was working at a lumber yard, and he was helping me sell the wood, right? The wood was $40 a piece of 4x8, and I would sell it for 20. He'd want 15 of the fucking 20. And I go, Dens, I'm the one that's fucking stealing. Yeah, but I'm the one that's selling it. So I couldn't do business with him. He was the mafia. He was always the mafia. He was like the Russians.
Fucking Russians.
So what are you going to do for the 4th of July, fucko?
I bought a grill, and Paula's mom was going to cook carne asada again, I think.
Where?
I don't know. We were thinking maybe even North Hollywood Park or a park up by them.
Are you really a fucking half a Rican?
That's what we did last year.
You went out to a park, just you and the cousin.
Yeah, and her mom cooked.
Right out in the open, like savages.
And when we got there late, it was like this.
Not even your backyard, somebody else's park next to squirrel shit.
And like we didn't, like, people got there like to get like the good spots and shit, but it was a lot of people there. And her mom likes to cook.
That's it. That's all you got from what she cook?
Carne asada.
With what?
What do you mean with what? It's
carne. She makes some fucking...
Yeah, she makes corn, too.
Do you have some beans? Did you get the fucking wrap so you could put it all in there? And the fucking... what do they call that? The blanket?
Burrito?
It's amazing how you go out to these restaurants now, and everybody got... What do they call them? Wraps. That ain't a wrap. That's a Mexican that you fucking robbed. How can you call that a wrap? That's a burrito.
Well, yeah, well, a lot of cultures have it. Like, there's
what
like,
culture? What culture? Who calls it a wrap? Since when? Since when? I grew up in this fucking country.
There's shawarma and like gyros.
That's that. Those are the fucking Arabs. Okay, but when did the rap come along? The rap culture. What fucking culture? The Gentile culture?
You don't, why don't you like raps?
I didn't say I didn't like raps. I just want to know, why would I eat a wrap when I got to eat a fucking burrito?
That's true.
I don't get it. Why would I eat a fucking wrap when I got to eat a fucking burrito?
Sometimes you want turkey.
No, I don't want turkey. Just funny, I was just thinking of Michael Denny. Like, I don't blame anybody about my childhood. I knew what I was getting myself involved in with that fucking animal, you know. I got a lot of emails about last week about the story I was telling somebody last week about robbing drug dealers, you know. And some guy was kind of pissed at me. Who do we have on? Not Brian Scalaro. Last week that we were talking about.
Ada?
No, after Ada. We were talking about Aspen, Colorado, and
where was it Nail the Life guys? The tweet?
Yes, Peter and David. That's it, because it was the last podcast we did last week. And I got a few emails from people asking me, you know, some people were like, hey, man, we liked when you spoke about it. Other people said they were disturbed. Because my voice had changed. It's not that my voice has changed. When I think about that, it's a dark fucking time in your life. So when you tap into that energy, you get upset with yourself. You can't believe you were doing craziness like that, fucking breaking into a drug dealer's house, just taking a little bit of his coke, and he confused him to death. That guy hated me, Lee.
How could he not?
Oh my God, that guy fucking hated me.
And then he'd come up to you and he'd be like, nah, Doc, I don't know what you're talking about.
And he never really approached me. He mentioned it towards the end when I got busted for the liquor store, for the jewelry store. When they chased me to the house and they saw that the boots, but they had no proof. And the word got out, and that's when I could see people were like, I could see him. But by the time they figured it out, I was on a plane to Jersey. And that was the end of that. Then I came back 2 years later, and nothing went missing. So now they couldn't really put a finger on it. I blamed it on somebody else. That kid died. The story ended. A couple people came up to me back in 87 when I went up there and said, hey, man, we heard a story that you might have been one of the guys that was burglarizing Snowmass. And I was like, no. They go, it's funny because when you left, they stopped. There was a couple burglaries, but they stopped because there was another kid that was robbing, kind of saw the drug dealers, that I knew who he was. And people started realizing that he was robbing drug dealers. So it was still up in the air whether he had robbed them or I had robbed them. But when I came back in 87 for 2 years, nothing went missing. So all the suspicion died until I bumped into a guy at the airport in Denver. And he came over to me years later, and he's like, hey, man, can I talk to you about something? And we started chit-chatting, and he told me that, he goes, was it you? He goes, somebody said they saw you one night, late night. And I go, bro, it was me. And I told them who I robbed. And about 3 months later, I get hit on Facebook by the girl. And I called her up, and she goes, did you really fucking rob me? And I go, yeah, but it wasn't me. I had an accomplice. I had no accomplice. I just didn't have the balls to tell her the truth. And I wanted to call the podcast, and I would apologize, but she can never call. She's a yoga teacher now in Aspen.
They must have busy schedules.
I don't know. It was fucking crazy, Lee. It was craziness, this life of fucking redemption, because I never really wanted to be that, you know, at all. At all. That was an embarrassment. I even hate talking about it on the podcast. But I know that a lot of people that listen to the podcast have been stuck with fucking problems, and they gotten arrested for various things. I was just a fucking clip. But I love clipping the drug dealers, Lee. That was my all-time fucking favorite. I love those motherfuckers.
What was the most you ever got?
The best was, I think, that I had a lot. You gotta remember, in some situations it was a revenge type deal. It was like a revenge type deal.
Okay.
And some of them, it was people I didn't know. Like, the biggest ones was the people I didn't know. Like, that somebody else knew, and I went in there indirectly. The one I did with Rago before I went back to Colorado, that was a gimme. You know, to get $30,000 like that, that's a fucking gimme.
Just in cash?
Yeah, after I sold the shit.
Oh.
You know.
How do you find people to sell that stuff to?
You sell it wholesale to them and you move it.
But that, well, I don't know what that means.
Okay, you don't know what that means. Okay, so.
So you're just like walking down
pretend,
the street?
No. Let's pretend. I'm in the drug business, okay? I do coke. So I have a couple guys I work with, right, that I do coke with. Let's say I live in Studio City.
Okay.
Okay, but I fuck with some guy down in Redondo Beach. Okay, I know him from some bar, okay? Now, I got you guys up here as my drug dealers. I got you. I got the Armenian. I got the black guy in Hollywood. I got the white guy in Hollywood, okay? After a while, I get to know you guys. And you'll open up to me and say, you know what? I usually get 4 ounces at a time. I usually buy 2 pounds every 2 weeks. So right now, I got a customer, okay? I know that you're a fucking customer also. Everybody's looking for a good deal.
Right.
Everybody's always looking for a good deal. So I got two options. I got to either go to you before I rob the dude and tell you what I'm going to do. But I'm not going to do that because then your ears are going to be open. Okay? Your ears are going to be open to listen to see who the fuck is going to get robbed. But if I show up, if I go down to Redondo Beach and I bust into this drug dealer's house, let's say I find out he's at a bar with some chick and he's buying drinks for everybody and he's in no way of coming home and his grandma that he lives with went to bingo and I know he's got 2 kilos of coke. Let's say he's got a pound of coke that's uncut and 3 or 4 ounces that are cut. And I take that, I can make $20,000. Okay, so let's say the pound goes for 16 ounces. In today's market, it probably goes for maybe $7,000, right? For a pound to blow. Maybe. I don't know, Lee. I'm just using an example. I'll come to Lee and go, Lee, taste this. Jesus, this is good. What is this? It's a pound. Look at it. What do you want to do? What do you usually pay for a pound, Lee? 800. What if I could do this for 550 cash right now? That's wholesale. Okay? Now, you'll come to me, a Jew, and go, Joey, why are you losing $250? Because I move it. It's moved. It just became cash. The longer I have it around, the more I'm going to snort and we're going to lose money. Let's take the fucking money we got. Those other 4 ounces, we'll do them.
I get, like, the wholesale part of it, but I'm just saying, like, you get something from something you stole. How do you find guys to give that to? I understand the drug part of it.
I'm just telling you. I just told you.
No, I understand.
You're always going to buy something. Let's say I bump into a $30,000 American Express card tonight, and my buddy owns a computer store. Before I go to the computer store, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to go, Lee, what do you need? What do you mean what I need? What do you need? I could go find out. Oh, my God, can I get the new Apple? Yeah. Add it all up. It's 6,000. What if I came back in an hour and I gave you everything there for 2,500 cash? Could we make that work? In a box. What fucking moron wouldn't take that deal? What Apple guy that you know, these fucking idiots that stand online for 12 hours to get the iPhone? What if I came back with a camera, the computer, the thing that you could stick your dick in there and sparklers come out? What if? How much is it, Lee? $6,600. What if I gave it to you for $2,500 cash in 1 hour? You're going to have my cash when I come back? Fuck yeah. Because you'll go to your wife and borrow. It's going to come in a box. But I know you, Lee. We're fam. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I just knock on your door and go, excuse me, sir. I see you use fucking Samsung products. How much did you give me for a Samsung? No. You go to your family. You know the people you know. And you go, hey, man. And if the cops knock on your door in a month from now, Lee, you tell them. I was in my office, and some fucking black dude with a cooler knocked on my door and said if I wanted to buy new computers. What do I know? What are they going to do, charge you with fucking possession of stolen goods? They're not going to take your shit. They never do. That's wholesale, Lee. That's people who already know where to dump it. You know, let's say I get a call, okay? Let's say Dick Syatt, your father.
Yeah.
You know your father well. Yes. Correctly, you know him with all your heart.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, did he have a restaurant?
No.
Okay, I thought you said he had a restaurant.
He worked at a restaurant, yes.
Okay, let's pretend.
Yes.
Let's pretend.
Dick's Restaurant.
You have the number one fucking seafood restaurant in fucking Boston.
Okay.
Shrimp, you know, number one seafood. And I know for a fact that the distributor in Maine is shipping out a truck.
Yeah.
And he's going to ship on their mussels and shrimp.
That's a good truck.
Now, let's pretend for the sake of argument that a pound of that shrimp is $12.95 wholesale. That's what your father pays for it.
Okay.
When he gets 50 pounds a day. Your father has a tremendous fucking buyout. Your father has a tremendous fucking fish business, okay?
Yeah.
Now, he pays $12.50 for the fucking pound of the 15 to 18 shrimp for cocktails and spaghetti and linguine and all that shit, spaghetti for a Diablo, whatever the fuck they use it for. I show up to you, the Christian, the Jew, Lee Sayan, and I go, hey, Mrs. Sayan, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, what's up, Joey? Listen, what are you paying? You get 50 pounds of shrimp a day at $12.50. My man Leo told me. Yeah, what's that got to do with you? What's that got to do with me? I got 300 pounds of 15 to 18 shrimp for $5 a pound. That's what it's got to do with me. And I got an additional 30 pounds of fucking mussels in the back. They just caught them. I still got a black dude's finger in one of their fucking clams. They go for $10 a pound. I'm going to give them to you for $5, but I need cash tonight. I don't have that type of money. Yes, you do. Give me the fucking checkbook. Let's go. They'll get the money. It's wholesale. He's going to sell that for $12. He's going to make a shitload on that fucking shrimp boat. Do you follow me? So before you steal it or before whatever, you already have an outlet. I'm going to get caught. Oh, amateur people rob a van and now we got to move in the morning. Oh, we got to move something in the morning. That's not going to work. I come to you. Listen, we're going to steal it at 1. I'll be here by 2. You got to have the cash. I'll have it. Boom. Let's do it. That's the wholesale. I just call it wholesale. In reality, it's giving you a good price. Even though I know I'm taking a beating. This is a $2,000 gold chain. I'm going to give it to you for $750. I'm taking a fucking beating. It's not really a beating. I'm moving it. Didn't right. cost me anything.
Right. I get it.
Okay, then what the fuck don't you get? Where do you meet the people? The people are right in front of you.
Yeah.
The people are right in front of you. This is a hard place. This is a hard society in California for me. Right now in California, if I went to 20 doors and said, I got TVs, the biggest flat screen, beautiful HQ 4K TV, it's going to cost you $800. I got them for $200 in the truck. People would slam the door in my face because they're not raised in that culture. You have to be raised in that culture to understand that culture. Some people think they're getting robbed. They've heard about the fucking dudes that sit at the side of the road and put rocks in fucking stereo boxes and sell them to some jerk off who buys fucking stuff from a guy on the road. Then they realize why he got ripped off. So a consumer like that. But guys like myself, guys like where you're from in Boston, you buy whatever I have. There's some weeks I got shoes. You're the type of guy that you're like, listen, bro, anytime you have anything, bring it by. Let's see what you got. Dog, I got winter jackets. I got 2 kids. What do I give a fuck where you got them from? You got winter jackets for kids? Yeah, let me see 2 of them. Well, she wants pink. Yeah, we'll spray paint it. You know, it's a different society. It's a different understanding. You know, it's a different culture. That's what we were talking about before. I had an argument with a nice kid one time. We were talking about people who pay off bribes on the East Coast. And this guy, and he was a nice guy, and I didn't really want to fight him or nothing. But I could see how he's an American. He understood, but he was too American. He was from Indiana, something like that. And there was a bunch of us. And there was a couple. In fact, Josh Wolf was there that night. And this is 15, 20 years ago. And we were talking about bribes, how bar owners in Boston. Lee got a bar. There's 18 bars in the block. I come in here every day in the morning. I got a shot of the Jaeger, Dewars, and a beer back. And we talk. You know what? I tip you. You don't charge me for that drink. I go to offer, but you go, no. You're the guy that works my... Yeah, okay. You come in here, you get a sandwich for lunch. That's bribe today. You can't do that. So if I come in here and Lee says to me, Joey, do me a favor. I come walking by, and you come over to me and go, Joey, can I talk to you for a second? I came over before with my fucking tomatoes. I left them in the front. I parked the car. I went in when I came out. I had a $9,000 ticket. I'll take care of it. it works both ways. It's not a bribe. He's not doing nothing wrong. He's going to go to the ticket guy and go, listen, it's Nikki. It's Louis. It's fucking Lee. You gave Lee a ticket. I didn't know. Boom. So now when I come in, instead of you saying congrats, no, there's nothing to say. You give me the house special on the house. I come in every day for a shot, and I come in at lunch. You don't charge me. I don't abuse it, though. I don't come in and get the lobster tail. I get a tuna sandwich, you know. What that means is we're there to rub each other's back. That's something that's been forgotten about in this country. Now, let's say you have 15 bars in the place. Your bar gets a little rowdy from time to time, Lee, right? Somebody talks up. Somebody sells coke in the bathroom. Somebody gets beat up in the bar. There's UFC fights.
Those crazy kids.
You want the cops to come, and you don't want to come with their guns drawn. So you take that cop and you give him a little $200 a fucking week. This isn't today's society because these young kids don't understand that concept unless greed takes over their fucking head. But they don't understand that concept that we're all taking care of one another. You're making fucking $20,000 a week dealing cards out of here, out of this office. I'm the cop on shift here.
Okay.
Some bitch comes up here, gets drunk, some guy's got a smack in the face. I'm going to show up here. You don't want no problems, right?
No.
So you're going to give me $500. You're making $20,000 a fucking week. What's $500 for a local guy to keep him shut? I'm also the first guy on the scene.
Seems like a solid investment.
Something happens. Who's better than you? I'm the first fella fucking here.
You better be.
You know? It's very interesting. It's really interesting and it's hard to explain. In the world I grew up, I understand and I get it. Do I agree with it? No. They're disrespecting the badge to a degree. Disrespecting the badge is what these motherfuckers are doing today in sorts.
Right.
When I saw that thing again in L.A. where the six cops shot the homeless guy and he took the gun from... That guy didn't take no fucking gun from nobody. He had like a lighter in his fucking hand. So that's disrespectful of the badge. You know, some of the shit I seen growing up... Listen, man. It's not that I agree with it or don't agree with it. It was just done and I had nothing to say about it, but I understood it.
Yeah, I mean... I could see where they would do it, you know, but to make more money.
Well, it's not even to make more money, man. It's just cops make dick. Cops make dick, man. Cops do a lot of fucking work for dick. I can see why their attitudes get bad. I could see a lot of shit. Then it gets hard to promote. If you're white, a black guy gets promoted before you. A Chinese guy gets promoted before you. This is the way it is. I'm telling you, man. A lot of shit happens. There's a lot of inter-racist shit in police departments, and they'll find out later on throughout the years. They always find out in these places that there was two or three fucking racists, and there was a couple cops that, when you're black, what are you going to do? You're in a white town, and there's a couple fucking white cops that are making fun of you, and you're a black cop. What are you going to do? You're going to bang up? You're going to goof with them, too. You got to have a sense of humor. You know, you got to have a fucking sense of humor, right or wrong?
Yeah, you do.
All right, then. How fucked up are you tonight? You're not talking.
I have no idea what the last story was about.
I know. We're talking. You were the one that got me started. You're the fuck that got, explain it to me, wholesale. Let me tell you how to fuck wholesale. You're not going to steal nothing unless you already got it sold, Lee. That's the fucking deal,
that's
okay?
That's why we were still
on it. I don't even know why we did this fucking podcast tonight. How high are you tonight?
I'm super high.
I had to talk the whole fucking night. I'm over here winded to death. Like, I didn't do dick today. You understand me? I did 1,000 things. I went to jiu-jitsu. I got beat up bad. But something interesting happened in jiu-jitsu today.
What happened?
Hegan's got a guy staying with him. That's like his energy fucking guy. That whenever you're hurt, he cleans you up. And the last couple times I've been to Hegan's, he's been there, but he's always been busy. I left in a rush. Today I got there early, and who do I see? Bam, I see the fucking Indian. He's a Cherokee Indian, dog.
Oh, shit. Was he cool?
Oh, my God. He lays you on the fucking floor, and he starts doing these things for you and twisting your muscles and moving energy and lifting your neck and making you breathe and stop. Then he crawls over to my knee, and he pushed it over, and he adjusts the thigh. I love all that type of shit.
I didn't know Indians did that.
Well, it's a different type of Indian work. Like, he did this thing, a Cherokee Indian thing. It's a different type of stretch. Listen, man, every culture, again, has their own different beliefs. And I'm the type of guy, I'm open. Anything that could heal me, anything that could adjust me without having to put a needle in me or fucking surgery in me or something like that, I'm cool with. I'll try anything one time, Lee. When it comes to health, holistic health, I'll try it one fucking time. You have to. Anything's better than what they're prescribing to you in this type of medicine. Everything's a surgery or a pill, and everything has a consequence. When I go to get cupped tomorrow, 11 o'clock, there's no consequence for me. You know, when I do acupuncture, I know I'm strengthening my fucking chi, which is just another word for energy. So what this guy today did was just transferring energy, man. Same thing Joel does. Same thing Dr. Joel does. When you go see Joel, what this guy did was what Joel was telling me. This guy didn't even have to do an x-ray. He just saw how I was standing. He turned me around. He touched both sides of my back. And he goes, you got something over here that's affecting your fucking hip, and it's twisting your leg. I go, holy shit. He just saw that, me walking in.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's it. That's why sometimes when I'm driving, I got to catch my leg. My leg, my foot goes all the way to the right, and I'm putting a strain on that knee there. That's how I fucked that knee up in a way. I guarantee it, because my leg always goes in. It's like the anti-pigeon toe. I had that friend in high school that she had one foot on the 10 and the other foot on the 2, and they used to call it 10 to 2. My foot's always on like the 2 fucking 30 mark.
Your friends are so mean.
No, it's true. They used to call 10 to 2. She was just...
How would you even think about that at that young?
10 to fucking 2.
Oh, my goodness.
I didn't give her the name. I wish I would. I would have been a comic genius at that age. And when she would walk down the hall, they'd go, 10 to 2. And she'd go, fuck you.
She'd call it right now, and she'd be like,
You know, I don't know. Her friends are on fucking... You know what? Her friends are on Facebook. That whole side of my North Bergen friends, let me tell you something. They never really wanted nothing to do with me. I dated one of those girls before my mother died, and we broke up. And that whole little crew of girls, they're very decent. There's a crew of girls that were my age that I graduated with. And they're on Facebook, and they don't... I think they followed me and read a couple of my fucking things and just unfollowed me instantly. Roseanne DiAgostino, I grew up with her and her brother. She just unfollowed me because she's a Christian, man.
What did he put up today? Mrs. Obama's getting fat or something.
Oh, I saw Mrs. Obama on TV. She got a little chubby. She was looking good with that little Chinese wig on and shit.
The Chinese wig.
The fuck? You don't think that's Chinese hair? You think that's really African hair? Get the fuck out of here.
I don't know.
I know Chinese hair when I see it. I even know Chinese food when they bow and shit. I know what that hair drips down like. The fuck? Yeah, they don't like me at all. They don't fucking like me at all. What are you going to do? I tell you, man, I had a really good time in Boston. I was really surprised by the attendance in Boston. And I don't think I really had great sets. You know, I've been writing this week a lot. That's why I wrote that today. I was thinking of something else, and all of a sudden I saw a picture of it. My mind was kind of fucking sharp today in a way. Because the last 3 days, that's all. I've been trying to get this thing ready for This Is Not Happening tomorrow night. So I think it's me, Janine Peluso, Dean Rell Davis. I don't even know what story I'm going to say yet. I got like 8 of them lined up, and I just don't know. Because the stories that I'm posting, so I can only do like 12 minutes.
Oh, okay.
So
I think it said it sold out.
Is it already sold out?
I think it might be.
By now, it probably is. I'm going to have a good time. I don't know what story I'm going to fucking tell yet.
That'll be fine.
I was going to tell, I want to tell Mike Denny stories, but I'm embarrassed.
Why?
Because they're scumbag fucking, like the lowest thing I did by myself was rob that chain sting for blind kids from a Carvel. But they only get like 10% of the way, so I didn't feel too fucking bad. You know those little things you see?
Yeah.
Those are scams. Yeah. They only get like 10% of that. So if there's $20 in it, the kid gets $2.
Okay.
The rest goes to some guy. He's driving a Mercedes. And meanwhile, you think you're doing something good for yourself.
That's fucked up.
That is fucked up. Which is why all those fucking donation things, that I don't like them. What, Lee? What, cocksucker?
No, I just...
Chiba Chew came through today. I want to thank Chiba Chew. Chiba Chew, listen, man. People put down this marijuana business, and I get it. And I come around, and I got the morning joint and all this shit. But let me tell you something. I've been smoking pot for a long time. Before this shit came along, I've been smoking pot. And I was always this free. I mean, in the back of my mind, if you're going to throw me in jail for pot, what am I going to do? I'm not going to stop smoking. I didn't stop smoking when I was on probation. I mean, I love it. It's my true fucking essence, the reefer. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's playing with fucking lizards. For me, I love it. You know, but I don't have the whole thing. I don't have the posters. I don't have the pot leaves. I'm just one of those guys that likes to smoke it. That doesn't mean that I'm going to fucking, you know. And sometimes I just hear great stories. John Evan told me a story. His father-in-law has cancer. He weighed 200 pounds. He's down 127 pounds. Somebody said, give him a fucking brownie. He ate a brownie. John Evan said he had a smile from ear to ear. and he ate a whole steak. You know, when I hear that type of stuff, you know, George's mother, my best friend George Kaladinsky, has called into the podcast 20,000 times. His mother has cancer right now.
Uh-huh.
She just got diagnosed with head, spleen, and something else. It's level 4 in 6 months, you know. And he's been feeding the Chiba Chews. And she fucking loves him. She went out to the pool. She swam, you know. And in that situation, I get it. These people never got high, and they hit getting, and you can see the enjoyment in her eyes. George says she's calling me 3 times a day. I got to go out there. She's giving her decas in 4s.
Yeah.
And she's eating, and she's moving around, and she's not in pain. They were giving her morphine. So that part of the THC process with the C, I took 2 CBDs this week.
Did they
without
work?
Getting high. I tell you what, I felt great the next day. I get what people are saying.
And you didn't get high at all? Because I had a CBD thing once and I got kind of high.
No. The Chiba Chew ones are the pink box. They're fucking great. The purple box, they're great, man. They taste great. I was very surprised. I didn't do edibles for 2 or 3 days and I had those fucking things. And they were great. Oh, yeah, we got high Monday night. Who am I lying to? But, yeah, it's really weird when you see that aspect of the medical marijuana field. And I've had Auntie Dolores on here talking about, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about when it comes to all that stuff, but I see that part of it. When people tell me, John Evan don't get high. John Evan listens to gangster rap music, but he don't get high. He's a white dude with a nice haircut. I don't know how he does it, but, you know, whatever. The fuck? I'm just having a conversation by myself here, people.
No.
I'm sorry. This Jamoke is just looking at me, dreaming of Yum Yum Donuts or some shit. Thank God I went to Hegan's today. I got stimulated. I come to do the podcast and you just shut down on me fucking.
I didn't shut down. I've had about 300 milligrams.
Who gives a fuck? You have 300 milligrams every 2 days. You got to come on here with, and give me something, you fuck.
I know.
You got me on here talking to myself like fucking Bill Burr on a Monday. You know what I'm saying?
I've just been listening. It's been interesting.
No, it's not fucking interesting, cocksucker.
But I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I've never been like super confident. I'm getting better with it. But like every once in a while, you meet somebody who's just like, they walk in and like just take over the room and like they're super confident with everything. And it's like, I wanted like. How you seem like you're confident, but then you've talked about not being super confident. So it's like, how do you make yourself act more confident?
It's not making yourself act more confident. It's that I know I don't have a choice. If it's up to me, I'd rather sit at the house and crawl up in a fucking ball. But I have no choice, so I got to walk in there in my mind extra fired up. Because if I don't get myself fucking fired up, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
So I think that comes off as confidence, but it's really not confidence. It's like an air of anger because I'm pissed off that I have to face this fucking issue, whatever the issue is. I didn't have plans, Lee, when I was 20. I wasn't like you and most people in America. When I was 20, in my mind, I was doomed to fail. I wanted to be a thief. I knew I was going to end up in prison. You know, I didn't have all the natural mechanisms that most people had. I was shot. I had TSD, whatever, PTSD. My mother had died. My best friend had died. My father had taken the house. You know, I had to live with strangers. I became a fucking thief. It broke my central belief system down. So the only thing that kept me alive was this desire to make my mother proud. But at that time, I was hoping she wasn't watching me. Like, I'm like, oh, I hope she's not fucking watching me, man. I don't want her to see what I'm going through now and the things I'm doing to make money and the people I'm burning just to snort blow. I didn't want her to see that type of lifestyle. But the air of confidence comes from anger. It really does. I'm pissed because I'm scared. I don't want to fucking do none of this. You think I want to get on stage at the Comedy Store in front of those people and try new material? Are you fucking crazy?
So, would you consider yourself like a confident person?
No, I consider myself somebody who gives up and knows that that's what they have to do. Like, at that point, you just give up. And it's like when I go get a shot. When I walk into the doctor's office, I'm a confident guy. When I hear Jose Diaz and I walk in, I'm fucking great. Hey, how are you? Great. How are those tamales? A Spanish girl. We always talk about tamales. She always tells me her cousin made something for her. They're from Nicaragua, tortas, whatever the fuck they eat. And then I get down. She takes my blood pressure. How's the doctor? He's busy today. You're going to be here a couple minutes. Okay. She takes my blood pressure. She takes my temperature. She tells me to take off my shirt and the doctor will be in 5 minutes. I'm pretty fucking cool. Then the doctor comes in. Then he says something to me and he goes, you going to give blood today? Yeah. And once I walk into that room, Lee, oh my God, Lee, the thoughts I get. Somebody asked me the other day what you do when you get bad thoughts. Lee, Syed, I get bad thoughts 3 out of the 7 nights when I lay down.
What do you mean bad thoughts?
The plane's going to crash. I'll take a situation where I'm not going to be specific. Somebody will say they're traveling. A friend of mine will call me and we'll talk, and a dear friend, even somebody that I don't, not crazy over, but I like them, will call and tell me something. I'm driving to New Mexico, and for some reason, I won't think about it till I lay down at night. And all of a sudden, I'll think about all the bad things on the drive down there, and how he's going to hit a wolf and he's going to go off a fucking cliff. And I got to tell my mind to stop, and the only way to stop is to say a fucking prayer. I figured out after fucking 30 years that the only thing would work is when I said a prayer. And I say the prayer like 2 times, and the thought keeps trying to fight my head, and by the 5th time, that thought goes away. And I say the daily prayer.
Our Father, Catholic prayer? In heaven.
Yeah, hallowed be thy name. And some people are listening to me like, you're fucking crazy. When you're a Buddhist and you lay down and you get into the position and you do the mantras or whatever the fuck they call them, you're repeating chantras, or you're opening up your chakras and you're repeating the mantras. It's a, in a way, it's a prayer. You're releasing a prayer. So I took it from that one time. I used to get fucking crazy thoughts, man. You know, sometimes at night I'll be laying there. The other night, Jan and I lay down, and I was in a good mood. I don't know what the fuck I was watching. And this had to be 2 weeks ago. And I laid down, and all of a sudden, I clicked on my ex-wife. Just clicked. It was like a movie. And all of a sudden, I could feel, I was slanted, and I could feel the blood pressure elevating me from the anger that I had worked myself up. My fucking heartbeat was leading the bed. You could hear the heartbeat going, boom, boom, boom.
Like, just instantly you were back to where you guys were, like, fighting with each other?
1995. Yeah. There I was. Fuck you, you fucking whore. Just the feeling and anguish I got. And it was getting worse. Like, I couldn't fucking breathe. And I had to stop right there and just, I must have said the Lord's Prayer 10 times.
That's cool. That's a cool part about religion. Even if that just calms you down.
But I didn't start it that way. I just figured that out one day when I was watching a Tina Turner movie, and she was doing those things. I forget what it is. Ricky Ron, whatever fucking Duncan does before he goes on stage. Well, Ricky.
The chants or something?
Yeah, the chants. So I thought about it that way. I go, what's the fucking real difference? All these religions that are not fucking Scientology, but they basically talk about energy. All I'm doing is switching up the fucking energy in my mind by saying a prayer. I was raised Catholic. I'm not saying the prayer. I would say any prayer. I would say a Jew prayer if I knew one. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like...
If I hung out with you and you took me to the temple and there was a prayer, and I would get a bad thought on a plane, when I eat the edibles and I sit in the fucking plane, what do you think I do? I say a fucking prayer. What do you hear coming out of my mouth 9 out of 10 times? Lord, please help me.
Lord, really? On the plane?
No, I say it to myself all day. Lord, please help me.
I didn't know that.
When I get stuck and my mind gets stuck in that death, I just fucking go right into Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I'm still getting hotter and hotter as I'm saying it. I'm not going to lie to you.
And this happens 3 times a week?
This probably happens 3 times in a week, not at night necessarily. It could happen when I'm driving. It could happen when I'm trying to write a joke or trying to write my plans for the day. I just think of something and get fucking fired up. And I got to control myself. And you get negative thoughts, man. But not... Listen, I get crazy 10 times a week. I'm talking where you get to the point where you're just thinking stuff that's not natural. And you know when you think stuff that's not natural. We all have that moment where you're like, wow, you know, and you daydream. But I get them where they get dark, where they get scared. I get them about my family. I get them about my friends. I get them about my friends' families. And I got to knock myself out of it, man.
Do you think it could be the edibles? Because I can't tell you how many times I've been sitting here putting the podcast up late at night, and I'm super hot, and I just get really... I get off thinking someone's mad at me or something.
No. In my mind, the edibles have elevated the levels of it. Like, they make it worse. I get anxiety.
Yeah.
But even 20 years ago, I would work myself up at night. After it started... It's always, I've always been a head case like that. I would think of something 10 weeks later and get mad at something 10 weeks later. Or say something to me and I knew it was going to be wrong, and then something goes wrong and I'll bring it up 8 weeks later. I'm the king of that shit. You know, it's just my nature. It's just some people's fucking nature.
So and you weren't holding it over? You just didn't even think about it for like a week?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. And all of a sudden, it would just pop up. The thing last week with my ex-wife really scared me. It was about 2 weeks ago, where it just took me over into the morning.
In the shower, I had to pray. And there was no, like, communication or anything?
Nothing. Just my mind. But it happens to me with a lot of fucking things. If somebody says to me, hey, man, what are you doing? Nothing. Let's hook up later at 4. All right. I'm going to go for a bike ride. I hate when people say that to me.
Why?
Because my mind goes, especially if I care for the person, my mind goes in 88 different fucking places, Lee.
Yeah, you told me not to get a bike.
Oh, my God. It just,
you were looking really serious about it.
It's just a bad. I told the girl at yoga, and a week later, she got hit by a guy at night. There's just different times. There's different places to ride a bike. I would not trust. In California, you got to assume 60% of the people are high.
Yeah.
But the sun gets in your eyes, 70%. You're thinking about all of a sudden the mountains, 80%. You're in a 20% possibility you're going to get hit by a bike. You're in a fucking bike lane in one of the nation's worst fucking traffic areas. And you want to drive a bike in a place where the people, the IQ of the people driving is a man. That's number one. Number two, I guarantee 50% of these motherfuckers don't have insurance. So you get clipped, you're on your own, bitch.
Yeah, they're going to go.
And they're going to go. So now what are you going to do? So you know what? Just don't ride. You want to ride a bike? Find the fucking mountain, get a Subaru, put your bike in the trunk, and on Saturdays, go up there and you can ride all around with your little helmet and your girlfriend and hold hands and take a Viagra and fuck her up in the weeds with a blanket or something.
I was shocked because this is when before I started working out. I was like, oh, maybe I'll get a bike because I live pretty close to the office, and you're like, no.
Especially at night, you with a fucking helmet, I hit you out of principle. Like, if I saw you with a helmet coming at me, I have to turn the car around and hit you out of principle, like on the thing, on the steering wheel, something. No. You don't want to take a chance. How many times you've been driving, don't you? You see people fucking up.
All the time.
Okay. So now you want to take that chance without metal around you.
No. Some dude, when I said I wanted might have wanted a convertible, some dude tried to get me to be on a motorcycle, and he seemed very nice, and he knew a lot about it, but I can't be on a motorcycle.
I love motorcycles, too. I wish I'd get a motorcycle.
I could never.
In a fucking small city where people had respect, and I knew everybody's car. So if somebody did deck me, I wouldn't take it on. I ain't Sons of Anarchy. I don't need to go to New Mexico or hang out. No. Nice community. On the weekends, take your bike out.
And it scares me here.
I ain't putting a fucking kid on it. You know, I'll put a helmet on. I'll put elbow things on. I'll do the speed limit. But I don't want to ride around cars. That's what I'm saying. I'll go get some dirt bikes with you. And we can do some dirt bike riding. That's my world. But for me, I'll start that all over again. I grew up on that shit in Jersey at first with the Balzanos. I had the XL 175. I love all that shit.
I just feel like I'd fall off.
But I'm not taking a motorcycle on the street with these fucking dickheads driving today with no respect.
And you know what they do here when they go like right down the middle of the lanes and they're going super fast? Like my buddy, who I used to edit with, got hit by a car.
I don't fucking know when somebody's coming. I'm listening to music. I think about that. How many times do I not pay attention? And I'm the type of guy that I do pay attention. How many times is my mind thinking of a joke or a plane ticket, and all of a sudden I'm stoned and there's some music in the car? I don't know if you're coming or not. I'm focused on something else. And here you come behind me with your beautiful girlfriend with your little helmet, and I go to muck the switch in the other lane, and there you go. Whether you're on a motorcycle, a fucking bicycle.
But it's not even that you're not paying attention, because when you're in stop traffic, you're not. Like when I first moved here, they don't do that in Boston. When I first moved here, if the traffic stopped, I'm like, okay, no one's gonna come up from the side of me, and then they'll just appear out of nowhere, and they get mad at you, they kick your car.
No. Just stick to the fucking car. You're gonna have a good
time. Oh, I would never have a motorcycle.
Let me give some shout outs. Let's abandon ship. All right. First of all, happy birthday to Dylan Klein. Your girlfriend's been bothering me. I think she bothered Lee. I think she finally sent Lee a picture of her titties. I'm just kidding. Happy birthday, Dylan Klein. We love you, cocksucker.
Happy birthday.
ATM man. Daddy, David Boy, Javier Jimenez, John Papelia, Rick Ricemore and Gareth Allen Evans. Fucking shout outs to you cocksuckers. I love you guys. And also, happy Canada's Day to all my Canadians who listen to this. You know I love you with all my heart. You motherfuckers are the backbone of the show, you crazy fucking Canuck cocksuckers. I love you.
Do you ever have poutine? Did you ever have poutine?
Yeah, I had poutine.
Do you like it?
Yeah, don't you see me jumping up and fucking down? Something. I already like poutine. I haven't had poutine in like 30 fucking years. I went to fucking Montreal one time, one of those places. I don't remember it, so I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know how I fucking roll. Anyway, next weekend I'm in Atlanta. The week after that, where the fuck am I the week after that? I don't know where the fuck I am. Tomorrow night I'm at the Comedy Store. Next week I'm in Atlanta. I know we're in Chicago, and then I'm going to the Ice House with my man Lee doing a combination Testicle Testament, whatever the fuck it is.
Live church.
Yeah, live church. What's up?
How are you?
You know me. Chilling like Tony McMillan. I ain't high. I'm just coasting in life, cocksucker. It's our world. You're just visiting. It's been a nice week, man. I know a lot of you is out of town this week. I want to tell you something. Be safe. Be careful. A lot of bullshit. I'm scared about this weekend. I'm not going to lie to you. These ISIS people are crazy. That ain't no fucking dildo flag they saw. That was ISIS.
You think so?
Yeah, that was
ISIS. I thought they said it was a dildo.
Nah, ISIS is in fucking full effect. They're going to strike somewhere. Keep your doors locked. Keep your eye on your kids. Watch your cats. They'll turn that motherfucker into hummus, those ISIS people. I just saw that movie, American Sniper, when they put the drill bits in the kids' fucking eyeballs and shit. That's fucked up. Third time I fell asleep watching American Sniper. But I like that. I'm always tired when I watch it. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You gotta be ready for when ISIS comes.
What's that?
You gotta finish the movie. Just...
Shut the fuck up. What you gotta torment me for? Look at you. Look at the shape of you. You can't wait to go home to have your usual pepperoni fucking almondine.
That's your drink.
Pepperoni almondine. You cook it up in a fire thing and you put almonds on it. I want to give a shout out to our sponsors. On it, as usual. Been here since day one. Roughing it with us motherfuckers. And that's why I rough with them. I can look you motherfuckers in the eye and look at you and tell you. The Hemp Force Protein is what's crack-a-lacking in my world. It's what's keeping me together. Two scoops with a fucking banana, some ice cubes, a little piece of peanut butter, and some water. Stop me. Somebody stop me. You understand me? The fucking Alpha Brain's got me all tuned up. You smoke a few joints, you get an e-cigarette, you puff your fucking eyeballs out of that after brain. Alpha Brain, I'm sorry. Number one nootropic. What has it got in there again? This is some fucking serious shit.
Get complete everything.
Earth-grown nootropic with alpha GPC and AC-11. Stop fucking around. Go to onit.com. Take a look at what they got. They got supplements. They got kettlebells. They got ropes. All I can help you is with the supplements. I'm going to give you 10% off. Go to the box and press in.
Church.
Boom. What do you think you're going to get? 10% off. What do you press?
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. We don't fuck around here. I love Onnit. Trust me. Give them a shot. Alpha Brain. 100% guaranteed. If you don't like it, we don't even want the product back. Try that with your local drug dealer. I'll tell you to go fuck yourself. Number two, you're sitting there going, what am I going to eat for the 4th of July? I've been trying to offer it to you, trying to hook you up for fucking 2 months, and now you're thinking of this shit? Go to naturebox.com. Nutritious, delicious, nutritionist approved. You could seal them. You don't have to eat them all at one shot like a fucking savage. They got delicious stuff. I mean, just fucking tremendous. I mean, my favorite, the garlic plantains. You eat some pussy after that, it's all over. But the shouting, you understand me? That little monkey gets salty and garlicky. You got that little wang in your mouth. Look at Lee fainting over there. You half a
fruit. I'm just thinking about the sriracha almonds.
Oh.
And the sriracha right
cashews.
Oh, cashews.
Oh, the cashews.
That would be good right now.
And the chocolate nom noms with a little glass of fucking milk. I'm telling you, I'm hooking you up for free. They want you to get a sample box. They're going to give you 2 big bags and 3 little bags. All right, go to naturebox.com and press in.
Go to naturebox.com/Joey.
Okay, and you go through the thing and pick the snacks you want. Tell them if you're gluten-free, if you're allergic, whatever the fuck you want.
Like crunchy or chewy.
Crunchy or chewy. They don't fuck around. They got some bars that are delicious, some almond bars. Oh, my God. Go over there. See what the fuck they got. 2 big bags and 3 little bags. Make sure you get the sriracha cashews. Make sure you get the French toast. They might not even have that, because I didn't see that last time.
I never get that one.
I always switch it up.
I always get this one, and then I never get it.
I always get the... That's because you don't come to the house, and I eat your shit before you come over. It's like I try to call you, but you're jumping up and down with Paul over there playing old fucking tango. Anyway, Go to naturebox.com. I got a free sample box for you. You're going to be fucking tremendous. Go there and press in what?
Naturebox.com/Joey.
Boom! And get your free box coming at you. Also free, but you're going to pay for shipping maybe $1.50, $1.90. Stop complaining, bitch. Let me tell you something. I've been going to jiu-jitsu more and more. And one thing that makes me go to jiu-jitsu is comfort. You know, at first I was going with those white underwear and your nut would pop out. Lee found that out once he joined jiu-jitsu. MeUndies, the most comfortable underwears you will ever fucking wear. Do you understand me? And I've tried them all. I'm a fat fuck. MeUndies feel good. They cup your nuts. No sweat. There's no stinking between your fucking legs. They pull all the moisture out.
That'd be amazing after jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, I just take them off after jiu-jitsu and go a la carte until I get home and I wash those fucking things. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to drive up Laurel Canyon with stinky nuts. That's disgusting. Anyway, go to MeUndies.com and look at their selection of women and men's underwear, sweatpants, sweatshirts, T-shirts. They got some great fucking shorts. They got a pair of red shorts that they cut. They're like sweatpants that were cut already. Comfortable. You don't even know you have them on.
Their T-shirts are great.
And their T-shirts are great. Listen, don't believe me. Go to MeUndies.com. Look at that great selection of clothing. Pick something. Go to the box and press in.
Joey.
And get what? 20% off and free shipping in Canada. In the United States. All right? Who takes care of you like Uncle Joey?
For Canada Day.
I fucking love you guys with all my heart. Thank you for all the love and support. You know, we talk about some crazy stuff on here. We like to mix it up from time to time. I know some people get mad at the food talk. We're going to cut it down a little bit, but we're switching it around. You know I love you motherfuckers with all my heart, all right? Have a great 4th of July. See you back here Monday night. Stay black. Stay beautiful. I got you.
Awesome. Now that the show is over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com and sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, healthy snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/Joey. That's naturebox.com/Joey. The show is also brought to you by MeUndies.com.
Sure, yeah.
Go to MeUndies.com and use code Joe to get 20% off of your first order of all the great men's and women's underwear, T-shirts, shorts, socks. You get 20% off your first order and free shipping in the United States and Canada when you use code word Joey. And go to Onnit.com and use code word Church to get 10% off all of the great optimization products.
Got a brand new funk. Get down, body for your rap. Let's get it on, like we said before. See the brothers feel the trouble, hit the busted bubble, cause we rumble from our lower level. To condition your condition, we're gonna do a song that you never heard before. Make it all jump along to the education. Brothers gotta work it out and stop chasing. In the street, all willing to work it out. Come on, yo, let's go to work. So many of us in limbo, how to get it on? It's quite simple. Three stones from the sun, we need a piece of this rock. Indestructible soul. Answers to this quizzing to the brothers in the street, school and the prison. History shouldn't be a mystery. Our story is real history, not
this story.
Work it out one day till we all
get paid
the right way in full. No bull talking, no walking, driving, arriving, and styling. Tell them soon you'll see what I'm talking about. Yeah. One day the brothers gonna work it out.
Let's go. of music. United we stand, yes, divided we fall together. We can stand tall, brothers that try to work it out, they get mad. We vote, revise, realize they're super bad. Small kids and smart brothers gonna be a victim of his own circumstance. Sabotage, shell shock, rock, and boom. They ain't no life of a fool, like I said before, to live it low. Life, take your time, time, yo, go slow. Look ahead, not a thing to fear. Brother to brother, not another as sincere. Teach a man how to be a father, to never tell a woman he can't bother. You can't say you don't know what I'm talking about. But one day,
older,
brother's gonna whip it out. In the street, all willing to work it out.